Welcome to part three of our Rise of Skywalker review. As always, I'm Tyler, and I'm joined by Jonathan and Daniel. How you guys doing today?
Good. How's it going, man?
Hey, I'm here, man. Long day of work.
Yeah, I feel that.
It's okay. We got one more part three. We got part three where we're going to finish this bad boy up and, finish with our thoughts, and let's get to it.
We left on a pretty big cliffhanger.
So we left on General Pride figuring out that Hux was the spy. He shot General Hux, and now it's time. Well, Kylo comes back onto the ship. Yes?
He has that,
General, our Kylo comes onto the ship, meets Rey in the bunker. It was a big build, and then I feel like the reveal itself was a little stale in the way it was delivered, but we finally get the big reveal. Rey's a Palpatine.
Yes, she is. Before we talk about that, I do want to talk. I really did like the, it was in the trailer, but it's the shot of the Millennium Falcon, like, drifting into the hangar to pick Rey up, and everyone's getting blown away, but Kylo's like standing his ground.
Yeah, that was super cool. Like, barely moves.
Yeah, I guess that does happen after the reveal, but it's in the same scene, so
I guess it's funny because I feel like JJ was awesome in the two movies that he directed Adam Driver as Kylo in, showing how powerful Kylo Ren was without ever having to really say it.
I was gonna say we didn't understand that from the first 10 seconds of the movie where he's slicing dudes like left and right.
Yeah, but I mean, just like force ability. Like, you look at that. Okay. You look at him pinning and choking that guy to the ceiling earlier in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, JJ does do a really good job with just showing us Kylo's power instead of, you know, telling.
Yeah. So Rey's a Palpatine.
Yeah.
He tells her.
How do you guys feel about that?
Did you guys know? I didn't know she was.
I did the first time. I mean, I had a pretty strong suspicion.
I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, I feel like I don't go into it like as deep into like studying them, like before watching the movies. So I really didn't expect it. When it hit me, I was just kind of like, no way, for real.
I had two thoughts within like a 2 second time span, and it was like, why are we doing this? I thought this was just a theory that we were never going to touch. And then I was like, wait a minute. How is this going to work? And I thought personally that it worked the rest of the movie. But
yeah, I think generally speaking, my two thoughts, that whole thing, I had that weird thought that she was a Dooku for some reason.
That's super weird, but kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really, at that point, when the reveal came out, I was sure she was either a Palpatine or some like weird Snoke genetic cloning thing, some sort of experiment Palpatine had.
I think it's easy to think that just because we see that scene with all like the Snoke clones.
Yeah, well, and Palpatine like turns around and his first thing to Kylo is like, "You need to kill her." Like,
also, can we call them Snoke clones? Like Snoke.
Snoke clones? Clones?
Yeah.
Snoke?
I don't know.
I think they're just Snokes. Like,
I see where you're going with this, Daniel, and I'm trying to figure out how to put it on a t-shirt right now. But can't figure it out.
No, 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 I gotcha.
Oh, we just put a little cone cup, and we'll put a bunch of different Snoke heads on it, and we'll have a picture of someone drizzling, like, coloring.
A picture of Andy Serkis drizzling stuff.
Oh, that's even better!
I think with what Jonathan said about Dooku, like, it could have gone in so many different directions. Like, you could have thought, like, oh, she's Rey Dooku. She's Rey.
Rey Dooku.
Let's just get wild. Like, she's Rey Ventress. Like, she's Rey Raven. I don't know. Like,
Rey
but
Thrawn.
At the same time, Rey stop.
Rey Thrawn.
I can't take it. I think Rey I've Mysterio. Seen all those memes with the Rey. Have you seen those?
Yes. And they're awesome.
I've seen the one where Grievous's face pops up and it's like Rey shields.
Oh my god, there's some good
some
ones.
Some of those are really good. Some of those are really good. Gosh.
Oh, gold.
So you guys were pretty happy with the the decision.
I enjoyed it and I thought they made it work. Because I think probably their mindset was, let's make her a Palpatine and we're just going to roll with it. Like, whether people like it or not, let's make it work. And I think they made it work.
I mean, I thought it was pretty clear from the reception of The Last Jedi that there was no way they were not going to have her be someone.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just so much.
I think what's missed.
I would have been really surprised if she had been nobody.
Yeah, I think what's misleading is, like, the fact that it's technically true that her parents were nobody, but at the same time...
Well, I like it because I think they tried to be nobody.
Yeah, no, they were trying to be nobody, which is why that statement is factual. They're not...
If you look at it from a meta level, too, like, they were nobody because they were never named. They don't matter to the story beyond Rey being a Palpatine.
That's true. We don't have their names, do we?
I don't know that we will. Maybe in the novelization.
Which at this point, how much of that even matters anymore? Because I'm pretty sure in the Kylo comic, they say Snoke's scars came from Luke, but we just saw that.
Comes down to another one of my frustrations. Like, there's so many multimedia projects, and like the visual encyclopedia is really cool. Like, don't get me wrong, I think this stuff is neat, but it seems like there's so much of it that should have been shown instead of having to get another thing to get the answers that we want.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we see it everywhere that we've looked. It just all feels really rushed. I feel like it was too much to try to say we're gonna make another 3 movies and then be done with it.
Yeah, I agree.
Someone brought up a really good point. If you think about it from a movie, like, I forget how they worded it, but if you take out the whole let's go back and think about what happened, and you just take it for watching a movie. In a sitting or like at a time, and you go by the way it makes you feel, it's a great movie and it does exactly what it's supposed to. It draws you in and keeps you hooked, and you're not given all the information, but you're told how to feel by what's happening, and you feel them, so you know, you feel it. You feel the whole movie. And it's not until you really sit down and start being like, wait, why is this like that? And why did that matter? Why do we do that? That it starts really being like, wait a minute. And I think as a movie, it worked. Even though it worked really, like, it went really fast, I think it worked.
Well, I guess my issue is, like, I agree with you. It's a good movie if I'm just sitting down and being a casual someone who goes to see the new Star Wars when it comes out or whatever. That doesn't work for us. That doesn't work for people like us. Like, we're here to analyze, we're here to talk about, we're here to discuss, and if a movie is only as shallow as the polish on it, I don't know that that's a great, at least a Star Wars movie, you know?
I'd agree with that, yeah.
I was thinking of not actually making this, because I've seen this statement on a few posts, and I've kind of learned to just accept it a little bit more, and I don't like saying it just because it's very, not aggressive, and it's more of a, like, Here's the truth. Just deal with it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, the originals were made for like our parents, basically.
Yeah,
And the
and were made
sequels
for,
were
yep.
made for us, and then the prequels were made for the future generation of Star Wars fans. And like, it's just such a, I think it's a really harsh way of saying it, or of putting it at least, but I think that's the hard part to deal with. I think for us that are so used to, I mean, I think we honestly dug into a little bit more into the originals, and we enjoy the originals sometimes a little bit more, but there's a lot of the prequels that we just enjoyed so much, like how we just drool a lot over episode three a lot
Sure, sure.
and how great that was. But it's hard to fit that in along with what we know Star Wars to be. And I just, you saw so many people that saw the prequels and couldn't figure out how that was Star Wars, how it was still the same
Right, it's
idea.
definitely a different generation.
I'd agree with that. I mean, I think I snapped you guys the other night, but I watched episode two. I was like, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna see. And I sit there and I'm watching it, and I think it was maybe the first 20 minutes. I was sitting there thinking, I was comparing it to the sequels and, you know, the original trilogy, and I'm like, this just feels different. Like, I know it's a Star Wars movie, but it doesn't. I feel like if I was 25 years old watching this movie in the theater, like, it wouldn't be the same. I'd be like, it would feel a
Right.
little weird, like it's not Star Wars. And then as I went on watching it, I'm like, this movie's really not that bad.
No, it's really not.
Like when
And I
you,
feel the
how I
same
want to
way about
describe
episode
all of
one.
my favorite movies.
You know, Steven brought up a really good point because I told him, I was like, watching episode two, and you know, I'm like, it's funny because I was laughing out loud at the dialogue with like 10 minutes in because it's just so ridiculous. But as I watched it further and further, you know, George Lucas was giving us all these Jedi igniting their lightsabers at the same time. How
Yeah, it's
cool
a
is
lot of really
that?
cool stuff.
We're getting Jango Fett, and we get to see him do some really cool stuff.
And then
And then,
gets his head chopped off,
even
which is
cooler,
pretty metal
we
in
get.
it was pretty it
itself.
was pretty cool. That's hardcore.
But you know, I'm watching these movies, and like, yeah, I agree with what you said. They're made for different generations, but going back to what Steven said, I think this is kind of a side note, but I think episode two is better than like The Last Jedi, for instance. And we can get into this on another like episode, but
Yeah, we're
episode two,
getting kind of off topic, but
that's a
it's
whole eight
okay.
episode
But
saga right
hey, at
there.
least episode two
If you
furthers
say
this.
brave stuff like that.
At least episode two furthers the plot. Whereas I feel like the Last Jedi didn't do much for the plot, so this movie had to pick up where Force Awakens left off almost.
Yeah.
Don't know. I
Yeah,
just.
I mean, again, that just boils down to my frustration where, like, I mean, I get the whole argument of, you know, yeah, it's made for kids. Ultimately, Star Wars is always made for kids. You can look at, I mean, it's what I say to anyone who wants to watch Clone Wars or Rebels for the first time. Like, oh, just give the first couple seasons a pass. Like, it's made for kids. But it
Exactly.
is. Star Wars is for kids.
Always.
But what my problem comes down to with this movie, and this movie is just the best example of it, it's really the whole trilogy, but it's just poor management, poor planning, and poor pacing. Like, no one talked to each other. There was clearly no communication. It was, we just bought this for $4 billion. Let's make some money of that. Like,
And they did.
and it did. I
They
mean, good for
did.
them, but we as fans, I think, deserve better.
Think
I
I think
agree.
that's a mic drop moment
It is.
for Jonathan right there.
I would agree with that 100%. So, going off of your point, Jonathan, we end up on Kef Beer, the ocean moon of Endor. We're
Which is
introduced.
interesting because it's never named, but it's really cool that there's, you know, you hear the forest moon, you've got the ocean moon. Do they have like a fire moon?
Is there an air
Is
moon? Ooh.
Mustafar the fire moon of Endor? Do we know? I've not looked at a map, so I don't know,
It's
but
not, but
is
it's
there an
not.
avatar of Endor?
Yeah, it was Palpatine.
Oh my gosh,
Oh, he's the dude that killed Rey's
stop.
parents.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Rey's dad was the avatar.
Oh man, that explains so much.
Oh my
But
gosh.
yeah, so ocean moon of Endor. We've got the wreckage of the second Death Star, parts of it anyway.
Yeah, we
Did you think
go on what?
the Death Star could have been cooler a little bit, or was how is the fallen Death Star in your opinion?
it was a cool set piece, but it was clearly a casualty of how short the film was and how much they had to pack into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty sure, I don't remember where I read it, so don't take this as absolute fact, but I'm pretty sure, like, there were a bunch more scenes shot there.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been longer, I guess, is my whole point.
The whole movie could have been longer.
Yeah, it should have been too.
Well, I heard JJ's original cut was like 3 hours and like some minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the, what is it, the hashtag release the
JJ
the
cut? Oh, God, we are behind,
JJ
guys.
Cut, that's what it is.
We are.
You know what? After this episode, our next episode we release, we'll do the release, the JJ cut discussion, as well as the Colin Trevorrow script.
And then we've got to finish The Mandalorian, and by then the Clone Wars will be out.
Oh, guys, the Clone Wars are coming. Anywho.
We're going to be done with this by the time Obi-Wan comes out.
Hey, guys, it's Taylor Gray, Ezra Bridger from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to the Carbonite Crew Podcast. Spectre 6, out.
Back to Kef Beer.
The dagger conveniently points to exactly the point of the wreckage. Rey knew exactly how to hold it, exactly what spot to stand on somehow. And they're
that took me out of it a little bit.
It didn't take me out of it till the second
viewing. The force controls like the current so that the Death Star wouldn't move at all. Like,
here's a better question.
From the water, like after years of being on there, or like,
okay, so like, yeah, all of that. But here's the thing that took me out of it. You have this ancient Sith dagger that points to this ancient Sith wayfinder, but somehow the dagger lines up exactly with the architecture of a battle station that was destroyed 40 years ago. Dagger, like, shapeshift? Because that would have been cool.
Okay, I was thinking that, and the way that I kind of consoled myself a little bit and prevented any further damage to myself, I was just, like, thinking about, it was brought back, and whatever metalsmith was there, I guess, reshaped it, but at the same time, now that I say that out loud, wasn't the Jedi Hunter holding it?
Yeah, he was.
Even if a metal worker or anybody would have just picked up that blade and reshaped it to wherever topographical changes have happened in the past 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. I still can't see that happening. And I'm unconvincing myself as we speak.
I'm sorry.
This is a terrible argument. I don't know why.
That's how I feel most days. Don't feel bad.
I'm going to leave this podcast.
Another thing, like, wouldn't this Death Star wreckage just be full of pointy, like, sides and points? Couldn't you have just pointed it at any?
Probably.
I can see that point.
Yep.
It would have been better off having Rey be like, the Force is telling me it's there. That would have made way more sense.
Here's what I would have done. Just, like, a quick change. Instead of the Wayfinder, it's a Sith holocron that she's looking for. And Leia gives her the technique to feel it in the Force. But it's, like, slowly pulling her to the dark side, and maybe that's why she sees the Darth Rey version of herself.
I like that.
Like, you get a little more of that temptation, especially after she blows up the ship with Force lightning. Like, you're like, ooh, maybe she is gonna turn.
I agree with that. I think holocrons are really undermentioned.
Have we?
In the movies.
Did we
haven't seen a single holocron.
Did you guys not think that the Wayfinder was a holocron when you first saw the movie?
I did, but it was pretty explicitly just called a Wayfinder. It doesn't seem to operate in the same way a holocron does.
I guess I just, like, the first moment I saw it, I'm like, oh my god, holocron. And I just never went back from that.
Yeah.
Well, like, if she would have used the dark side on it, would it have opened up, or would it have changed?
No, because Kylo was, didn't he use the dark side?
Oh,
like,
that's true. Okay.
I don't know.
So maybe it's not a Sith holocron.
I think the dagger was convenient and needed. They needed some way to get her there. So
feel the Force. I mean, you literally explained Palpatine coming back 40 years after as dark magic.
Just cloning.
Literally give me anything other than this dagger is pointing me like... I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the dagger. But
I will say the whole dagger subplot gave us one of the best things in this movie, which is Babu Frick.
And more 3PO lines, I agree.
Jonathan, yeah. Jonathan cannot understate how much Babu Frick has affected
me. Hey, hey! I would literally walk around sometimes at home and go, hey, hey! It's
I literally, we're playing our Star Wars tabletop, I literally made a Babu Frick.
That's awesome. I love it.
His name is Galen Drick.
Interacting with Galen Drick / Babu Frick in tabletop has been just a joy and a thrill ride for all of us.
He loves the Wookiee. Like he wants to ride around on the Wookiee's shoulders.
Best friends.
Yeah,
they're just best friends.
I love it.
It's anyway. So we were introduced to Janna. Janna's cool.
She cool? She a former stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Yes.
Her and all of her people, in fact.
That we don't get to meet.
All of which people?
Yeah, right. The people and the horses at the end of the movie.
Oh,
come on,
okay.
Keep up.
Just the horses, right?
The horse people.
She was talking about the horses. They were horse stormtroopers.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
Horse troopers?
Horse
troopers.
Storm horses.
Can you imagine? They just got like horse armor.
That was real early Empire. That's why they couldn't jam them. They didn't even think that the horse troopers would be back.
Those were the Sith troopers for the horses.
I know we'll get to it later, but I really liked having like a very clear like a female commanding officer of like one of the Sith
Yeah, that was cool.
Was that? Yeah, like I was really like surprised by that, but I was thinking back to like is it like Lost Stars? Like,
mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of like other officers who like all these like white dudes pretty much just as like leading officers of like ships. But then like you see this like I don't want to say evil looking woman.
She's definitely in command.
She looked like she knew that she was on like
she reminded me a lot, and I've gotta go find the name real quick. But she reminded me of the lady, the Imperial Moff Admiral in Aftermath.
I must interject.
In my library.
Who are you guys talking about? I'm confused.
Admiral Light Ray Sloan. Yep. Which is really interesting because she basically pretty much sacrificed her life to try and prevent the First Order from being a thing. But yeah.
Hmm.
Are you guys talking about the Rise of Skywalker? Was there a lady I missed?
She's the commander of the Star Destroyer that blows up Kijimi later in the movie. Yeah. She's the Sith Eternal.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah. You only see her very briefly, but there's like a whole page about her pretty much a whole page about her in the visual dictionary.
Guess I'll have to go see it again.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rey's very adamant on getting to the Death Star, to the Death Star. And
to the Dark Side, right?
Oh, she gets there. She gets to both places. She gets to the Death Star looking for the what I'm calling a holocron from here on out.
She gets her knife out.
She gets her knife out, and then she sees Darkseid Rey. She goes zap-zap with her lightsaber, just like Luke and Darth Vader on Dagobah.
Can we talk about how creepy those teeth were?
Oh, my God. I wasn't expecting those.
I'm forgetting that.
Oh, I hate that. That's my least favorite part of any Star Wars movie because it terrifies me.
The teeth?
Yes. Anything. They could have done anything else. Just like Lord of the Rings did the same thing.
Yes.
In Fellowship.
I'm still terrified of that scene.
Right?
Yeah, that was awful.
That's
like the jump scare of that trilogy.
It still gets me, too. I'll start to look away if I'm watching. That's coming.
I know.
I really will.
Darkseid Rey is cool. It is very reminiscent of Luke and Vader's fight in the Darkseid Gate on Dagobah in the S Baby.
Very
sweet double blade.
Yeah, I'm a little upset that was just like a 2 second thing because I wanted to see more.
Can you imagine if Maul had carried that instead of just regular dumb old two sided lightsaber?
Dumb.
Right. Got a flipperoo.
Or, like, it's hydraulic, so he can flip it vertically as he's fighting. Basically. Dude, that's how you kill Jedi.
Actually, I could see a usefulness to that. Like, you're parrying, and then you're just, like,
parry it just goes
casual,
vertical.
And then you press it, and then,
Yep.
Gosh, that'd be amazing.
Or down, they lose their balance, and you immediately revert it. And,
gosh.
They're decapitated.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oof.
So that's cool. I don't really know how much to say about it, just because, again, I mean, we got a little bit of hints about, like, oh, Darkseid Rey, but we didn't get too much. We didn't get enough that I was like, oh, that's clearly going to be her future. That's where this movie ends.
I think.
At no point did I ever feel that.
No, I agree. If nothing else, we got a super cool Funko Pop out of it.
True that.
Because the Papa looks...
I think I actually just got that one.
You got the Darkseid Rey?
Yeah, I did. Ooh. I didn't. I don't want to say it because it kind of shows which way I was leaning towards Dark Rey, but I didn't want to get it at first.
Not fair enough.
Because it was just a very underwhelming part of the movie.
No, I completely agree, 100%.
Dark Rey pops up, teeth. She slides out of the room, and then, hey, it's Ben. Because when Luke had it, like, he at least got to, like, talk about it, and, like, you could see how conflicted he was about it, and honestly, how scared he was about it. But,
dude, yeah. But there's no time for that, just like most things in this movie.
Yeah. Like,
I really think if this had been, like, 2 2.5-hour movies, we would have had a whole scene where she goes back to the Resistance base, talks it out with Leia, like they, I mean, granted, that couldn't have happened just due to filming constraints, Carrie Fisher, but, you know, even maybe, talks like, it out with Finn, like.
That's true. Maybe, like, she goes back and she's got, like, this whole, like, dark aura about her, and she starts, like, fighting with everybody, and, like, she gets to the point where she almost, like, punches Poe or something, and then, like, she just eventually talks it out, and then she's,
what are you
like,
talking about? She wanted to do that anyway.
That's true. Okay. She almost punches R2. That's where it would get to.
Ooh.
Yeah.
BB-8.
That's how angry she would
Babu
get.
Frick.
She'd almost punch
God
Babu
no.
Frick.
God no.
Hey, Jonathan.
She's in Redeem. Yeah.
Where does Babu Frick rank on your all-time favorite Star Wars characters?
Oh, man. I need to revise rankings. I'll get back to you with that one. He's up there, though, man. I want to see Babu Frick a Star Wars story.
We actually didn't talk about that.
Let me put it this way. I like him so much that I've considered making Galen Drick into just a previous version of Babu Frick, who's like, I'm just going to write his origin story in my tabletop game. Like,
you know, I can't decide whether I just really love Babu Frick more or if I really love how much you love Babu Frick more. I can't decide which one I enjoy.
Both, dude. He's incredible. He is incredible. So... we get to some pretty heavy stuff next. Just when she sees the Wayfinder and confronts the dark visage of herself, Kylo Ren just shows up. He's like, yo, what up, baby girl?
Kylo Ren always shows up.
And they have a very brief fight, and he's just
What do you mean a brief fight? This is like
in the throne room.
The light. Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, it's a very brief fight, and he destroys the Wayfinder. This leads them to a much longer fight.
Yeah, it's a good fight. I'm not gonna lie, it's very well choreographed.
It is.
It's probably the best fight we've seen in a long time. Which really, now that I think about it, it's really the only fight we've seen other than her and Kylo in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The other,
because there was no Rogue One.
Yeah,
none in
the other
Solo. Whoa. Anywho.
MTLJ, yeah.
Yeah, because that's not a fight.
The one thing that bothers me a little bit about this whole fight is Finn.
Yeah.
Finn gets there, and he's following them, and I just want to know what he thinks he's going to do.
He's going to have a feeling.
Yeah, well, he's having that already.
He got a feeling. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I just, I wish he wouldn't have been there. I don't think it made much difference, personally.
I mean, if they really wanted to lean into him being force sensitive, maybe he like has a force vision of it happening. Maybe he sees Dark Rey and he's getting snippets of the Kylo and Rey fight.
And that's when he's like, we have to go save her.
Yeah, yeah, that would make sense.
I think the only thing that he really did in that whole scene was get pushed back by her, and that was supposed to show like her using her anger.
Yeah. Didn't do a very good job, because that's not what I got from it.
That's the only thing I think he added to the scenes.
Yeah.
We got a really cool fight. They're like walking through water, jumping over things. Visually very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Leia reaches out to Ben. He hesitates, and in that moment of hesitation, Rey takes advantage and stabs him.
Yep.
Because she's
Which
a
is
witch.
Pretty brutal.
Because she's backhanded, might I add.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. I wasn't expecting that from her. But she's frustrated. You can see the anger boiling up right before she does it. Because realistically, there's no way she's beating Kylo Ren in a fight. The closest she ever got was in The Force Awakens. And I maintain that that's after the bowcaster. And that's the only reason she even had a chance there.
Agreed, because Kylo Ren's the most powerful being in the universe.
The Peace Supreme Leader.
Exactly.
I don't know what there is to say about that.
This podcast just be called Supreme Leader Kylo Ren.
I have something that I want to throw out, and I don't know if you guys will just instantly agree or just say you disagree or you hadn't thought of it, but I'm just going to throw it out there.
I agree.
Is Rey responsible for Leia dying?
No.
No.
She is not. Why do you think she is?
Because in that moment where Leia is trying to connect with Ben, that's when Rey stabs him, and that's when Leia dies.
Leia was going to die, I think, either way.
No, I agree. But I'm just...
I think what it was Leia knew it would kill her to reach out to Ben, right? And she was waiting for it. I think... I almost kind of want to look at it from, you know how, Luke was on Crait?
Mm-hmm.
A part of me almost thinks that she was somehow reaching out to Cathbeer and, watching it all happen.
Okay, well, I agree with you, but I have different reasoning. So part of me is, when they were connected, that's when Rey stabbed him, so they were connected, so she died. The other part of me is... She may not have died immediately. She doesn't disappear till later in the movie. She doesn't disappear till when Ben disappears. So part of me thinks that she was doing the same thing that Luke was doing, except that's why we get the Han Solo moment. She's projecting Solo to Ben.
Okay, so you think she's Han.
Han Solo.
Yeah, I think that if Carrie Fisher were still alive, that would have been Leia projecting, not Han.
Kind of like how... Luke force projected, himself
younger.
A few pounds lighter, a little bit younger, a little good looking, still got the right curves.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability of force projection is not projecting yourself; it's just creating a visual projection.
Well, and if you look at the force as, let me get a little philosophical. If you look at the force as one life force, maybe it's not her projecting herself. Appearing to be Han Solo, but maybe it's channeling some of what Han Solo was through the Force.
Okay.
Maybe
there's not really an explanation why Han shows up. Kylo even says it at some point. He's like, "So are you a memory?" I think.
Yeah. This whole time, I was kind of that's pretty much just it, right?
Not
it's
resolved.
Good timing.
Yeah.
Or is she Force projecting, and it comes in the form of what the other person wants to see?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Because if you
my
think...
other thought. My other explanation for that is, we haven't had a single scene with Leia and Kylo in the same room. There's more emotional impact having Han Solo show up and basically recreate TFA than there is to have... I mean, you would have a sweet, emotional scene, but there's more impact if you redo that scene.
I agree with that, because... That when they, in TLJ, they did the whole TIE fighter scene when they were going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty powerful. I think that's the closest we really got to that.
Yeah, I agree.
Them being, together.
So, Daniel, what did you think? Do you think Rey killed Leia?
I think I'm more on the side of yes. She knew she was nearing her time, and she kind of planned out her sort of last remaining force energy and life energy allotment. And she was I need to force project myself to be on Cathbeer to see what's going on. I need to force project Han Solo to rescue my son. And that's what I need to make sure I have enough energy for.
And I think there's a few... I almost think that they meant to do a little bit more with her being sick. That's not conveyed at all in the movie. But there's a little bit of a tell towards that, because when... when you had that whole scene with Luke and Rey a little bit later, the next scene, he talks about how Leia knew that when it was her time, Rey would come and get her lightsaber. Leia had an idea that all this would be over. Otherwise, she would have her saber.
I think we should save this conversation for another episode, to be completely honest with you, because I feel like this could
go a lot of places. Yeah, I agree.
We can move on. I love this conversation. Do not get me wrong.
Yeah, no, I do too. I get you.
Let me put that in my notes.
Go ahead and note that, and we will come back.
Because I feel like I have a lot of thoughts, and I don't want to start talking about it, because I feel like it'll just go off course a long way.
So I think the next thing that happens is Rey actually force heals Kylo,
which was pretty obvious that it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty telegraphed. I agree. I think she instantly regretted it after she did it. You kind of get that feeling, which is why like the first thing she does is turn off her saber and go to him.
Yeah, it was funny because during that battle, I was sitting next to Steven and I said, "Do you think Kylo dies? Do you think Kylo dies in this scene?" And probably 35 seconds later, she stabs. I'm like, "Well," and it was obvious she was going to force heal him, but you know, for a split second, I'm like, "Well, dang, there goes that."
Yeah.
But I think
was almost like a little.
Go ahead.
Like it was a little too convenient to have the force healing pop up, like. 30 minutes before, so you almost knew that he wasn't going to die.
Yeah. Well, the day before, if you're watching The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming in the Rise of Skywalker, though, until, like, the eel thing, the lizard.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't be like, oh, it's going to be in the movie. I didn't think twice about that.
I didn't either until after that, I agree.
She force heals Kylo.
She leaves. She hijacks his ship. She just straight up TA5's it.
Hijack.
She's gone. Kylo's left on his watery. So what is does Finn just leave? Or does he not go see what's up anymore? That was, if you think about it, that's weird.
Yeah, it is.
Is Kylo does he and do he and Kylo talk like, "What up, Finn? I'm actually a good guy now. You want to help me find
the
ship?"
Does he have like a moment where he's like, "Yeah."
It's so weird. It really does move super fast in that aspect.
Yep. So he turns around and Han Solo is there.
That was such a good moment. One of my favorite parts of the movie.
I did really like that scene actually, and I like that it was almost a mirror of TFA in a lot of ways. You get that whole moment where he's holding the lightsaber and it's kind of a mirror of The Last Jedi too, because he takes the lightsaber and instead of turning it on this time, he throws it, just like Luke did.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's probably one of my top three scenes in the whole movie.
Also, the whole he almost says "I love you" and Han interrupts and says "I know."
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew the whole "I know" moment. I'm like, oh, it's very reminiscent. Oh, he knows how his son feels. But I didn't even imagine the words "I love you" coming out of Kylo's mouth. Oh my god.
That's what he was about to say. He almost says, "I love you, Dad." And
I thought he was
going to
say, "I'm sorry."
Goes, "I know."
I thought he was going to say, "I'm sorry."
I mean, you could be right, but that's how I took it.
Oh god, that makes it better, though. I like yours.
Because I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that shows regret. But "I love you" shows repentance. That illustrates him completely doing out 180 out of 360. But
Oh god. Okay. Maybe one of my top two favorite scenes now.
he's Ben Solo again.
Can we just talk about Adam Driver's acting? Like, come on. I mean, in that scene.
I mean, we just had we talked about that last movie on Netflix, but Adam Driver is just...
He just kills it.
Who was it? I think it was Jonathan from Beyond the Outer Rim podcast. He posted something. I think he was talking about he watched A Marriage Story, and I agree 100%. He said, close to what I'm about, quoting him close to it, but he said, Adam Driver is the best actor we've ever had in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And I think I can completely 100% agree with that.
That's a tough field. He's one of the best, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at people like Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Has Adam Driver ever been in four Taken movies? I don't think
so.
Ian McGregor.
No, he's better than Ian McGregor.
But yeah, no, I agree. His acting is just superb.
He's sitting there with water on his face from the ocean, and you're like, no, those are tears right there, not water from the ocean. Because I can see it. I can see his emotion.
Yeah.
Have you seen all the carrying on my back memes about Adam Driver?
Oh, yep. God, yeah. And I think at the end of the day...
I hate to agree with those, but sometimes I feel like they're true a little bit.
Yeah.
You know where this trilogy went wrong? Hmm. They focused on Rey, and it should have been Kylo's trilogy the whole time.
What are you talking about? It is Kylo's trilogy.
Kylo Skywalker?
Yeah. The Rise of Skywalker. Him coming out of the pit. The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, that's the whole movie just right there? That's the pit?
That's how I'm taking it.
Fair enough. So Rey goes back to Octo. Octo?
Yep.
Octo? Bless you.
I have questions. I have a lot of questions about this scene. My biggest question is, why did she destroy the ship by throwing fire at it?
Yeah, why did she just use the lightsaber?
Force lightning?
Okay, so more so than why does she try to do that? Because I get that, but why does it work? She's throwing torches at a starship.
Wait, why did she not just use her force lightning?
Unclear. That would have been way cooler.
Or did
and
she?
Probably fit better. Maybe.
Maybe she got some kindling and just put the lightsaber really close and started blowing on it, starting to make a campfire. And then she just threw the kindling like a
Maybe.
Leftover soda. Some Jawa juice that was just sitting in the cockpit. Which brings up the point, how do DUIs work in space in Star Wars?
They don't.
They can only DUI you if they catch you.
If you're on planet.
I imagine it's the same thing as if you're sitting in your car and your car is parked and you're drunk, you're still going to be in trouble.
Wait a minute, are we assuming that there's space police?
On some planets,
Where?
We're about to have the Space Force.
Coruscant? I mean, any civilized, core world that's going to have security.
Yeah, you think Zam was just driving through with Anakin riding on? No one's like, all right. Well, it's Jedi business. Go back to your dream.
Yeah.
I'm really questioning the authority of everything, but let's get back to that.
Back to the scene. Okay,
this
so
does need to be a whole nother discussion.
The Han Solo scene and the Luke Skywalker scene that we get, I feel like should be at least twice as long as they are.
Agreed.
Especially the Luke scene. There's so much there.
Did y'all think it was Hayden Christensen at first?
I was hoping.
When he grabbed the lightsaber? Because I was like, as soon as he grabbed it, I said, this is it. He's here. And then Mark Hamill shows up. It's fine.
Yeah. So, how do we feel about him knowing that she was a Palpatine?
How do we feel about him knowing?
About all of them. I mean, Han knew, Leia knew, Luke knew.
Apparently, ignorance is bliss is everyone's goat statement to live by.
Right. Well, and I think with Luke, it makes a little bit of sense because he was very hesitant to train her. And it puts into context that whole, him giving her the first lesson and he just, he's blown away by the fact that she would go right to the dark side. That puts a lot of context on that scene, which I do like.
It's true. I'll have to go back and watch some of that, knowing that enhances that a little bit. Leia's lightsaber reveal. Do you guys?
I love that scene. The young Luke and Leia running through and training and doing all that stuff.
I loved it.
That was really cool. And seeing her beat her brother, because she does.
Yeah.
Leia's
the whole package, man.
Yeah.
They said Mark Hamill played that part.
Yeah, I would believe that.
That was pretty cool.
Incredible.
And then Billie Lourd played her mother, which was cool. So so we have the cool lightsaber. I liked her lightsaber. I liked that it was blue.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I still need to know where Luke's green lightsaber is, though. I mean, like, what's going on with that? Where is that?
I assume it just got lost in the Jedi Purge, or the Temple Purge, like,
What I imagine is it's actually in Luke's X-Wing cockpit, and Rey's like, I already have one. Why would I need two?
Dude, she could have General Grievous Palpatine.
I know.
Oh,
well,
my
did,
God.
It'll make a fine addition to her collection.
Rey Grievous.
I still want to know where the lightsaber is, though.
I do want to say, I was just, like, stopping to think about it for a little bit. It's a little out of left field. Just from my perspective, not having as much exposure to the comics and not knowing as much about Leia, I think to everyone else, like, I know I spoke to my brother, who's, like, he's big on the movies, not big on the shows, not big on anything outside, really, the movies. Like, it's a little out of left field how it came up. Like, yeah, they trained together this whole time. That's why Leia's training Rey.
Right.
So I think that could have caught a lot of...
Well, and that's not even alluded to. Like, you go and read Bloodlines, and that's never brought up. She clearly has some force sensitivity, but that can be explained away by the whole she's a Skywalker. Like...
Yeah. Like, she just, like, talks about... What was it? At the end of episode 6? Where she's like, oh, he's my brother, and I just, like, feel this, and...
Yeah.
I'm like trying to remember, like, exactly for some reason. I need to get together and watch this.
Yeah, so I mean, I did really like the Luke scene overall.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was super cool. I wish it was a little bit longer. I think we could have done more of that and less of some other stuff, obviously.
I think it would have benefited from a little bit more of the literalism of her being like the whole thousand generations live in you now. Like, make that a little bit more literal. Have Luke talk to her about how, you know, she is the sole surviving member of the Jedi now that Leia's gone, and, you know, she can, he knows that Leia was teaching her how to, you know, feel the echoes of the Order in the Force, and maybe he shows her the final component of that, because she's failed to do it at the very beginning of the movie. She's trying.
Yeah,
it would have been cool to see, like, you know, Palpatine going, like, oh, I am Sith, and knowing that, like, or at least thinking that he knows that she can't do the same for the Jedi. And then she's like, oh, yeah, watch this. I think that would have recontextualized the ending a little bit better.
Yeah, because you could have thrown that in, and you could have had a little moment where Luke's like, yeah, I know she's gone, I felt it. Even something like that.
Yeah.
Because there was none of that, or... I mean, I know he's dead, obviously, but... it's moments like this that I'm really bummed that, like, Carrie Fisher passed away, because it really shows you, wow, it would have been a completely different movie had she been alive.
I think the important thing to think about is, what all can Force ghosts actually touch and catch?
Anything.
Like, is it...
A lot. I mean, Yoda let that tree on fire by just pointing at it.
Yeah, can they do, like, Force-related things and still catch... So, okay. So, they can do Force-related things, like set things on fire just by working through the Force. But did he catch a physical lightsaber because it had a kyber crystal in it and it was attuned to the Force?
Ooh!
Hmm.
And or, like, more than that, it was attuned to him?
Yeah, and that too. Or can they touch, like, all things? Can they just go around, like, scaring people and, like, walking through doors and just, like, whispering into bathrooms, like, and just, like, I don't know, just, like, do random stuff like that? Like, how far does this go?
Yeah, we don't really know, but that's a really good point I didn't think about.
I think that's, you know, I almost wonder if, you know, how Qui-Gon learned the being a Force ghost, basically, and teaching, you know, Obi-Wan and all that. He almost makes you wonder, you know, as time goes on, do they learn more about being a Force ghost and about being one with the Force so they can do more?
Hmm. Yeah. I think the Clone Wars sets it up pretty well that you have to at minimum have the training. Because there's that whole arc with Yoda, and even Qui-Gon in that arc says, like, my training wasn't complete, that's why I only get my voice. But, like, does it I don't know. There's a lot of questions there. I don't want to get too far off track.
But Hayden Christensen can show right up afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the first problem. That
the one that got me most was like all the other Force ghosts that he killed, like when he gets to see them, how does that go down? That's what got me.
Yeah.
Like right after he dies, I just wonder how that awkward conversation must
Wait a minute. If we really want to look at like Force, this maybe does Leia die of sadness? Can we argue that?
Is she I sad? Think Rey kills her.
Is she sad that Rey killed Kylo? So she's sad, so she dies? I'm just saying, it's canon.
I think it's the same as Luke a little bit. More of the strain from Force projection.
Of being sad. The strain of being sad.
Was Padme like Force projecting
Padme.
Pod Racer May.
Pad racing.
Pad racing.
Oh gosh.
Well, shall we move on to
We're going to Exegol.
Exegol.
I love the name of this planet.
Yeah.
I do. I
think
it.
It's cool.
Not as cool as Moraban though.
Oh, get out of here with that Moraban bullshit. That was probably one of the worst things Lucas did. You're gonna take a planet that's had an established name that you created for fucking like 30 years and you're gonna decide to change it right before you sell the franchise. Like, sorry, I really hate that.
Didn't he change it to Korriban, right? Is that what I'm
No, he changed it to Moraband. It
from
was Korriban.
Oh, come on, I agree with you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's stupid.
That is stupid.
Anyway, yeah, Exegol. So Exegol's tight.
Exegol's dope, man. It's like, you know, like in the summer when it's breezy and not too hot, not too cold, and you can feel the storm coming in, it starts storming, and you just want to watch it. It's like that, mm-hmm. but every night.
Yeah.
That's how I imagine it, at least.
I just imagine Palpatine's got, like, you know how he saw that big, I can't even definitively say it's a pyramid, because we're never shown it's a pyramid, but, like, whatever temple he's in. I imagine he's got, like, a viewing chamber right up at the top with, like, a sweet balcony, you know?
I think his thing was really, like, the thing is just, like, bad guys showing what's going on. It's just a very common thing. Like, there's just easy access to windows mm-hmm. and apparently magnifying glasses that can magnify 20
right.
ships. Just, like, this is all so conveniently planned.
Yeah, yeah.
What is this room even for? It's not even a throne room. It's a magnifying room for very close stars? I don't know.
I love it. It's great. The lightning is in tune with any dramatic thing that happens on that planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. Good. Like, if, like, there's a cool sound effect or sound that's supposed to happen, lightning flashes at the same time.
There's, like, a concert down there you want to watch, but you don't want to go on planet just because you know what, like, how much it costs.
Right.
So Rey shows up. She says hi to Palpatine, and he reveals his whole plan.
What's up, Grandpa?
She goes,
it's like, I never.
Papa? Is that you?
Papa. Palpatine? Papa Palpatine?
Palps?
Papa Palps. So he reveals his plan that his whole plan was for her to come, not for Kylo to kill her.
Which, yeah.
What?
Well, and it would have been fine if he would have just been like, well, I changed my mind. But he doesn't even say that. He's just like, oh, this was my plan all along.
I think it was implied that he knew Kylo wasn't going to be able to do it.
That's the thing that
it is
heavily implied. But at the same time, I don't enjoy the how, yes, the Sith do lie, but I don't enjoy how it's like, yeah, your parents are nobody. I'll wait, there's somebody. Yeah, I want you to kill Rey. I don't want you to kill Rey.
Well, and it's not even like cool lying, it's stupid lying. Like,
well, he should have just told Kylo to bring Rey to him. That's literally all you had to do.
Yeah, which was Snoke's whole thing, if you remember. Like, the whole two other movies, one of which J.J. Abrams also directed. Like,
I was going to say, there were two other movies?
No, but, like, you want to look at a great example of the lie? Look at Obi-Wan in the OT. Like, that whole from a certain point of view thing, that is a wonderful lie.
Yeah. Oh, magnificent.
Yeah.
Because he's not lying. Like, he is, but...
Yeah.
It... Palps is losing his...
I think he's got some, like, late-onset dementia or something. like, he's like, oh, yes, I told Vader's grandson to go and kill the girl. I mean, fetch the girl. Wait, did I tell him to kill him or fetch her? I don't remember. Well, it'll turn out fine, I'm sure. Like that's... That, I feel like, is the most rational explanation for that.
Cloning
is
a tricky process, you know? It doesn't bring back all the memories with...
Or the fingers.
How much of your fingers do you want this time, pal? It's just like 80%.
Give me the Anakin special on the fingers.
Yeah.
Ooh, ouch.
Ooh, ouch. Ouch. That's what he said.
So, the Resistance fleet shows up. They're able to follow Rey through the hyperspace lanes to Exegol.
Okay.
She's flying Luke Skywalker's X-Wing, which is incredible.
That's pretty cool.
Okay. I'm going to jump ahead a little
bit.
She's
leaving, like, she's pinging herself, basically, like, on the way there.
Yeah.
Does she know she's doing it, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
We hope so.
Okay, one of my biggest gripes of this movie is the whole reveal of, like, yeah, you led your friends here, and now they're gonna die. It's like, whoa, how did Palps think of that?
It's episode six.
Almost word for word.
It is word for word.
Like come again, on, bro, this didn't work the first time.
Them die.
If it wasn't for the fact that Ian McDiarmid came back, like, if he was just sitting in a chair this whole movie, they probably wouldn't have even had to bring him back. They could have just cut his lines from the other movies he was in and called it a day. Like, it's the same plan.
No,
like,
no.
We were at Celebration. Sorry to exclude you from this, Daniel, but...
No, it's all right.
No, he was there.
We were watching the Clone Wars... panel, and you were actually in the arena. I was watching it on the screen because I was waiting for my dad too. And they were talking to Sam Witwer about Darth Maul's arc in the final season of the Clone Wars. And he went on this really beautiful thing about how it's I can't think of the Greek guy, but the guy who is cursed to eternally push the boulder up the mountain again and again and again. Yeah. And how that's Maul's arc. And I feel like that applies to Palpatine just as well. Like,
I would agree.
He gets into power, but he keeps trying the same thing. He's like, well, if I do it bigger this time, it'll work. Surely it'll work, right?
That was a foolproof plan to begin with. I mean...
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, he's got the right idea with it. Like, he's like, well, last time I failed because my apprentice turned on me. Well, Kylo's not here, so great. I mean, I'm going to succeed this time, surely, right?
That's what he thinks.
So, yeah, no.
I like that idea, but I think we've talked about Palpatine being so conniving and so methodical that I can't picture him as a Tantalus, just because that would make him a pitiful, like, a person to pity. And I can't.
I mean, post,
I can't picture him that way.
Post prequels, he kind of is.
Post prequel. Oh, okay.
Yeah, like after episode 3, he really is. He keeps. Nothing goes well for him after that.
Poor guy, dementia and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Having to switch to Depends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So how do you feel about the miniature Death Star tech?
That's crazy.
Yeah. I guess technology really does move pretty quick.
Yeah, like they literally miniaturized it.
Granted, it's pretty much confirmed that I think the Visual Dictionary confirmed this, but I think it's pretty much confirmed that pretty much since his death they've been working on this fleet, so it's been 40 years.
It's crazy you see that while Starkiller Base, you know, was still sucking power.
Well, that
from
just
the
goes
sun.
To that just goes to prove that like the First Order is just the Empire's B team, like as far as Palpatine's concerned anyway.
I don't think Palpatine gave two shits about the First Order.
No, he's way more concerned with the Final Order.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that. Fantastic segue into what I was about to talk about. So, I love the whole Final Order thing, because it's like a kind of a callback to the First Order, but really, in reality, come on, Order 66.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I think.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you guys think of the name? It's a little cheesy, but I loved it.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit cheesy, and I did like it, but I think, like, I would have liked it to have more Sith implications, personally. Like, I think it's called, like, the Sith Eternal Fleet in the Visual Dictionary, and I think that's just way cooler than the Final Order.
They probably came up with these names after, like, they released the movie.
Probably.
Like, after they were finished, like, dang it, let's put it in there.
Yeah.
I loved it. The Death Star tech on the web on the destroyers. So basically, the Rebel fleet is fighting the Final Order up in the air.
Yep,
great battle. I wish we would have seen a little more of it. Oh wait, wait.
Yeah,
this is after everyone shows up to help.
No, this is prior to.
This is prior to.
They follow her there, and then they realize that they're totally screwed. And they do the landing, so, like, Finn and Janna, they land in the Star Destroyer. They're trying to do stuff. They've got the horses. They've got the horse troopers with them.
Oh, I love them horse troopers.
And they're working on that, and Lando goes, like, well, we're gonna go out and see if we can find anyone to help us. So they leave, and things are just going really badly when they first show up.
Which, also, Finn learned a lot from the Resistance about how to destroy...
Mm-hmm.
All those ships, despite being in charge of maintenance, but go on.
You mean the First Order?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Well, what you don't know about Finn is he's that one friend of a friend that you know that has a different job every week. So he might have been in maintenance on, you know, Starkiller Base and on the Supremacy, but he was also helping design the gun turrets that they used on the Sith Fleet ships.
Then he got promoted to top floor maintenance, and then he filled one water bucket, and then back down.
I mean, I'm sure if he would have been in Palpatine's room, he just would have been like, oh, just shoot the weird spine apparatus thing right there, and he's dead. Like, I helped design that, you know?
I used to bunk with the guy who designed that.
Right. So yeah, I think it's a little jarring that Palpatine switches around, but you get a little bit more dialogue from him, like, you're my granddaughter, blah blah blah, like, you're not here, and she's like, oh, well, I'll kill you, which is very distinctly different, I feel like, than Luke's dialogue towards Palpatine in 6, like...
Well, intentionally, obviously.
Right,
you're supposed to be leading up to this whole, like, will she kill him, which was very, I don't think, very well done. I never for a second thought she was going to try to kill him.
Right. Right.
Certainly not Raiders of the Lost Ark melting.
So, here's a question because I... Oh, yeah, okay, it's right in the outlook. Never mind. I'm not going to ask her done in questions. Actually, no. No, that is a good question. Where did Kylo Ren find a functioning Imperial TIE fighter?
On the Death Star wreckage.
What? Where?
Oh, it was charging.
They're just Teslas?
300% charged. He's like, oh, sick. I can make it to Exegol from here.
I did.
And does he just remember every single jump point, like, to Exegol?
I think he does.
Yeah, I mean, I think he does too, but that's pretty incredible.
Dude, it's Kylo Ren. We just had a whole discussion about how he's the most powerful one.
What if he would have just found somehow a TIE Defender and flown that in?
Oh, that would have been cool. Ooh, or like
Vader's
his grandfather's
old
ship.
Ah, perfect timing
because
on that.
Because that was on the second Death Star.
That would have been great. I did love the whole visual from the whole OT X-Wing to the OT...
TIE Fighter.
It's just sitting right next to each other. I thought that was a beautiful shot. That's probably my favorite, just cinematic shot that there was.
Mm-hmm.
Ben starts running at blasting people with his looks like Imperial issued blaster that he has. Probably got on the TIE fighter.
Yeah.
And starts dropping people, very Han Solo style.
Yeah, and I've seen the visual comparisons, but it's actually very similar to Chewbacca style earlier in this movie when they were rescuing him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like if you go back and watch the scene, like Chewbacca's using two hands, but it's basically like him using, it's basically the same thing. It's really cool. Oh,
that's super neat. I like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a Solo thing, and I think Chewbacca definitely counts as that.
Oh, definitely. Knights of Ren come out of the darkness because they're finally like, yo, you're that's not our leader anymore.
Yo, I unfollowed you on Space Patreon.
We're the Knights of Palps now.
Yeah, right.
So he starts fighting them and just they're whooping on him because he's got no weapon. It's just Ben Solo now. He's you know, he's hurt now. He doesn't have that anger flowing through him to keep him powerful. Rey's arguing with Palpatine. It's kind of not a lot really happening. It's more all in the sky, everything happening. And then, in my opinion, we get the best part of the whole movie, the Ben Solo challenge.
The Ben Solo challenge with the
can we talk about how like Palpatine is just so convinced? He's like, yeah, do this ritual, like kill me, like, and I'll enter you, and we'll just be like the Sith. It'll be great. And then she's just like, okay, yeah, and he doesn't find that suspicious at all.
No, just dude, like, Palps doesn't remember that he told her that 2 seconds earlier.
Right. You talk about the Ben Solo challenge, but the fact that this is the first time that they use the whole Force Link thing together in a meaningful way. That's super cool.
Oh, it was so cool.
She hands off Luke's.
Luke's
saber.
Let's get this straight. It was Luke Skywalker's saber that she handed off because she pulls Leia. Because we're supposed to forget about Leia's saber for a minute.
You were.
And I totally did. Okay. But that was the whole thing.
Drops the Knights of Ren. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting. I mean, they don't have lightsabers, but
I was gonna say you expected him to lose to the guys carrying clubs and the one guy carrying a pistol.
It could have been Beskar. I don't know.
This is not what I signed up for on the Patreon
that's the
page.
Rarest metal only belongs to the Mandalorians. That's not the way.
Okay. So he wipes out the Knights of Ren.
Demolishes.
Yeah.
He goes, yo, Rey Palpatine, bring me in to where you're at.
Yeah, and then they get that cool, like, they both draw their sabers at the same time.
And then get force pushed? What that's like...
Yeah, I mean, Palpatine spits out probably the most out of nowhere, but also, like, simultaneously important phrase of the movie, like a force dyad. I argue we've already been told this because you get the whole Snoke thing, like powerful light, powerful darkness.
Yeah,
I've seen other people having other interpretations of it.
They're in love, bro. That's all it is. I'm kidding. I like that they're a dyad in the Force.
Yeah, I think it's cool. You get to see. Get to see him like start to suck their life away.
Yeah, which he doesn't actually kill them, which is weird. Couldn't he have just killed
He loses his dementia for a minute and somehow becomes better dressed in the process.
Okay. I want to touch on this. Y'all notice it was very similar to the episode 3 robes.
Mm-hmm.
In the color and stuff and design. I loved that.
Unlimited power.
Yeah, I mean the clothes were really cool. I really like the outfit, but I just don't know how he did that.
That's your question out of this movie?
Yeah.
Alright. Fair enough. Dude, have you not seen like the quick change artists at like the baseball games? They change really quick. It was like that.
It's just a hobby Palpatine picked up when he was a kid.
That's what he's been doing the last 40 years. He's watching a lot of Chris Angel and stuff.
Maybe when I possess my grandfather, I'll be known as Darth Mind Freak.
What? Watch this, I can float. We weren't actually... The whole thing was Kylo and Rey never saw the arm holding him up the whole time, so he was... to them, he was really just floating.
Talk to me a little bit more about Force.
About what?
Force dyads?
Yeah.
Talk dyad to me.
What do you want to know? Like, do you want to know how I look at it, or...
Where have we seen them before?
We haven't.
We haven't.
We have not. Prior to this trilogy, but... I would argue that the whole explanation for Force dyads was explained by Snoke in The Last Jedi.
Okay.
You know, he's talking about how that now that there's so few Force users in the galaxy, you know, Kylo Ren is the dark side avatar, and he assumed that Luke would be the rising power in the light, but it turned out to be Rey.
Yeah, but, like, that gets me thinking, like, the whole, you know, powerful dark, powerful light to meet it. So where haven't we seen situations like that?
What do you mean?
So
are you saying I missed something?
No, I'm just I'm just wondering. I'm thinking like, okay, so Kylo is the powerful dark and Rey is the anti Kylo. Bring balance.
Right.
Say Palpatine back in
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Palpatine in the prequels. I would say Anakin for a little bit.
For a little while.
Like, noted. Maybe, like, 2 days?
Yeah.
Immediately turns dark.
He's like an avocado. Like, just, oh, it's done.
You can't leave it out for more than a minute. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, I feel like that kind of idea, they're expressing that it happens more often than you think.
I mean, he said it's been generation.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen it yet.
Right.
Or is a Force dyad specifically a family, like, bond-related thing?
I don't know. There's a lot of questions there. I don't have any answers.
You don't?
That's one of, like, the more... Out of all, like, the stupid things that I wrote, and there's a lot of them, that's, like, one of the more, like, things that I was just, like... I'm a little confused. I'm a little lost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering.
Because
one of my things was, like, basically, you can force heal, but you can also force steal, which is what basically he did with their life, right?
Right, right.
Does that mean Rey could have had that ability?
Because of the Force dyad?
As well? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's possible. I think she could have probably done that, like some sort of weird force vampirism.
Hmm. That actually makes it sound like one of the coolest ideas ever. Like,
it does, doesn't it?
Force vampires?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what Palpatine basically does. The weirdest... No, maybe not the weirdest line for Palpatine, but one of the weirdest lines for Palpatine, like, where he just, like, force kicks Ben Solo, Sparta kicks him into a pit with the force,
true.
And he goes, "As I once fell, so shall you." Like...
No, that's not what he said.
Okay, correct.
That's not what he said. I actually really liked what he said. He said, as once I fell, now shall fall the last Skywalker, or something like that.
I thought he was going to switch just one word and just put it before another word, and he was going to, I guess he added.
Yeah.
No, I like it. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, just a little bit more of everything in this movie would have made everything a lot better. It just felt out of place to me, I guess.
I get it. That's the Rise of Skywalker, guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Get it now. It's over. We saw. It's a good movie now. We did it. We solved it.
We did it. So, you know that scene where this is what happens next? That scene where she's laying there and she starts whispering all freaky in her sleep, like, you know, be with me, like that?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, be with me, and you see the lightning or whatever in her eyes.
Yeah.
I think, and I thought this both times I watched it, I thought that visually would have been super cool had you seen the lightning in her eyes and, like, the Star Destroyers like you did, but it slowly start turning just into space.
Ooh.
And you just see, like, the stars in her eyes.
Hmm. That would have been neat.
Because it would have been, you could have connected it to, like, she's connecting to the outside world. You could have thrown in a world between worlds connection there, if you want to think about it that way.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought visually that would have been cool. If nothing else, just the look of it. I was like, oh, it would have been perfect. So that's what I see when I watch that scene. Just in my head. I love it. So she somehow gets up after getting... Oh, no, she starts hearing the voices. I am so sorry, I almost forgot that. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty pretty essential.
So she hears the forest ghosts, or what we presumed are just all forest ghosts. We hear both Obi-Wan and both Obi-Wans. We hear Qui-Gon, Kanan, Barriss.
Dude, Ezra.
We don't hear Ezra.
Barriss is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Barriss
is a really interesting one.
And she Dooley, right? Isn't she in there?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people in there.
Yeah, there's a ton.
Ahsoka, Windu, Hayden Christensen finally made me really happy.
Yeah. I'm just still bitter about there not being an appearance.
I mean, his line was very clear, so I liked that. You know, bring balance.
Yeah, it was something.
Like I have or whatever. Which I like that they still made that canon where it's like, no, he still was the chosen one. No, he did bring balance to the Force.
But are they going to need, like, a chosen one every 40 years now, or...?
Is Rey the chosen one? I don't think that's what the story was.
No, I don't either. If the Force is just this wildly unbalanced, I get that the whole point was that Palpatine wasn't really gone, and hopefully things will be different now.
So Vader really didn't bring balance to the Force, then, if that's the way we're going with it. Palpatine was never gone. So maybe he wasn't the chosen one.
Maybe. I don't know.
Sounds like another fun conversation. So is Ahsoka dead? Is Ahsoka dead?
No. God, no. Don't say that.
But, she didn't show up. That's a real shitty thing to do if she just didn't show up when everybody else showed up. And if
it
she
just
did,
hurts me.
It does. I'm sorry. It does. I agree.
But what if she's on the ghost?
Even shittier.
You think so?
Why would she not go down? Come on. That's like four lightsabers against Palpatine now. That could be happening.
Yeah, she's old, dude. Maybe she's taking the Yoda approach. Like,
she's on Dagobah.
I mean, it's been 40 years since the last time we saw her. I mean, Tregruta live an average human lifespan. I mean, that puts her at like 60s, 70s.
I would rather her be dead.
Fair enough.
We get to see Luke and Leia's lightsaber finally used against Palpatine. He dies the way he almost died in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool. Actually.
And we also got two blue lightsabers crossed, very similar to, again, Revenge of the Sith. As cheesy as it kind of was, the whole scene I thought was awesome.
Oh, so he is a Force vampire. So when you cross two lightsabers and make them a cross, it fights the vampires and kills them.
Yeah, I mean, dude. Kylo would have won if he just, like, fought him with his crossguard then, right?
Ah, dang, that would have
been... Oh, man, Kylo really fucked up.
Oh, right?
Gosh. Oh, man, way to go, Kylo. Kylo sucks, more like it.
Yeah.
I think that was a pretty sucky way to die, to get, like, face just melted off like that.
Dude, it was brutal, too. Dude,
she Wicked Witched of the Wested him.
Yeah.
Except with it's like lightning, really... not water.
I think I remember, like, I turned to Cindy and I was like, is this a Disney movie? Like, are we sure we're in the right Star Wars? Is this, like, Rise of Skywalker, the horror version, though? Out of everything, more than the Rey teeth, that would have gotten me. The whole face melting.
Really?
Like, ah, no. Run away, children.
I wasn't a fan of that person. Like, I wasn't a fan of that. I really would have liked to see Palpatine with some lightsabers. Two of them.
But what if he would have had the two red ones?
Yeah.
The dark ray flip saber.
That would have been neat.
And that's why it popped up in her vision, because Palpatine has that lightsaber.
I wanted another 920 flip and scream.
Right, dude. Right. That would have been sick.
Yeah. No, it was visually cool. You know, you get the whole, like, I am the Jedi. I loved
it. Yeah,
I was happy.
A lot of people really hated it. I heard comments that, like, how much harder can you rip off Endgame?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it's the same line.
Yeah, well, you know what? Jedi been around longer. Actually, no, Iron Man's been around longer.
No,
canon-wise, no. Wait, you have to go?
Yes.
Oh my god, you do have to go. Oh my god, I didn't realize what time it was. Right. All right, well, due to some time constraints, we do have to leave for the evening. We will be back next week with some JJ JJ Cut and some Colin Trevorrow scripts. So stay tuned for that. Until then, may the force be with you guys.
Always.